Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. How are the communities going? I was told last time people were very nervous. They were talking to each other as if they are strangers, and there was a lot of tension. But we are going to create them anyway, because I'll tell you this, that the power of having of self-sufficiency within a group of people is scares the world so much. Actually scares the world so much. The world can allow you to have a certain level of freedom. But the one thing they don't want you to have is financial freedom. Now that scares them. You know, there was that guy called Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the civil rights activist. The man was, you know, fought for the civil rights of the black people in America. Very powerful speaker. Had powerful rallies. At one stage had what he called a million man rally in Washington, calling for, you know, at that time, of course, blacks wouldn't vote, and calling for, you know, civil rights of the black people. And they let you be, they let him be, they let him be. And he was such a good speaker. The man could speak and take you up and take you down and take you up. Like, you know, people who are so good, they can excite you, then make you nervous, then make you calm, just with words. Anyway, now at some stage later on in his life, he got another message. And that's the message that got him killed. He started saying that black America should have its own economy. And he said the economy of black America would be the 8th biggest economy in the world. He said it would be bigger than Netherlands, what? He started mentioning some countries. So he said the blacks now should create their own economy, still within the states, but where they manufacture their own things, they have their own businesses, buy their own, you know, from their own supermarkets and so on, and encourage fellow blacks to do things just for the black population and create self-sufficiency. The minute he started saying that, he was in a hotel somewhere and he just came out like this. And the CIA was there waiting for him. Now we know, because those files have been declassified. Pew! One bullet. They will give you freedom. You have your freedom. Go and vote. But when you start having self-sufficiency, that if I want something, I will get it from within our group. We don't buy from Bazungu. They want you as a market. I'm not talking about black here. I'm talking about certain people. Here, this has nothing to do with black, because we're all black. Some are a bit white, blacker than others, but we're all what? We're all black. So, now, that's not what they really are. What I'm talking about is where there is a clear self-sufficiency that you can do everything within yourself. Now, that scares people. You have no idea. It scares the people of the world, because that means that you can take on anything. Anything. You can take on anything. You know, there's this guy who is a pastor now in Kenya. Fair old man. But before he became a pastor, he was the leader of a very notorious group of killers called Mungiki. I'm sure some of you heard of them. A group of Kikuyu vigilantes. Very, very, very dangerous. They had created an economy within an economy. In Kenya, nobody could touch them. They were untouchable. They were in control of the transport industry. They would decide fares and say, from here to here, you charge this amount. If you charge anything different, you disappear. So, and people would give them taxes. They even chased the Bahindi out of the city, just using pure violence. Chased the Bahindi out of the city. They would come and tell the vendors would give them money and say, we want to sell from here. Then they say, sell. Then the owners of the shop call the city council. City council chased them once or twice. Then this guy said, tell those guys that we have allowed you. They have no authority to chase you. This is just a vigilante group. So the next time they sent the hawkers there, I'm just telling you, they told the hawkers, when the city council come, you just run in this direction. So the city council came, they ran with their goods and ran inside the Muindi's shop. So these guys came there and got the city council guys and gave them some thorough chiboko and warned them, if you ever come here, we are going to kill you. And told the Muindi also, if you ever. So now, those guys would give them taxes. So they were a real vigilante group, and they had understood. Now that guy was so deadly that he was giving people pieces of land in Nairobi, which was not his. But he would go and say, "You, I've given you that land." They say, "What? So just go and process it at KCC. If they tell you anything, at State Council, if they tell you anything, tell them Mungiki has said you." And when you say Mungiki, everybody will say, "Eh." So you end up with the land title of land which was not yours. And the guy just gave it to you. He did not buy it, neither did he sell it. He just gave it. Now, they had created that level of dominion. But now that's the reason I'm telling you this story is this. That Muslims who understand dominion, Christians don't. We don't at all. Muslims who understand dominion, guess who called that man, the leader of that group, Gaddafi. And he told him that he wants him to Islamize Central Kenya, because Eastern Kenya is already Islamic. If they can Islamize Central Kenya, most of the Kikuyus and what, then Kenya will become a Muslim nation. And he told him he's going to give him $500 million to do that. Now, he knew that when you have dominion, he said he was going to do it. I was going to make all of them Muslims. That's what dominion does. He said, build mosques in every what place. You know, there is a way they do. They come, they build. Now, if you go on all these major roads, you find everywhere there is a mosque. On the road, they don't build inside like you people who are building your churches. Because the purpose is not what? Not necessarily for visibility. And they do it on purpose. And I'm not even criticizing them. They know dominion. We don't. And then the other thing, there are small things which are where. Now, you see these names of people whom they put on roadsides, naming roads closes or roads. If the person is a Muslim, they will put either Haji, Obed, what? But the Christians will put Lutuama Lane, Kabuleta Close. But for them, they will make sure they put the Islamic name. Now, you go and check. Just try it out, even if you drove along this Buziga Road. All the ones, they will put Haji Twaha Close. Anyway, they understand dominion. Now, this guy said he was going to Islamize Central Kenya with $500 million. And he was about to start. And guess what happened? Gaddafi was hammered. Bah! You don't play with God. $500 million. So anyway, something happened in Libya. And you know the story. Arab Spring, what? Those things. NATO, what? But the guy came, said he was going to do it. And he knows, because he understands dominion properly. Anyway, eventually the man got born again. And it's even an angel who preached to him the gospel. And so he came and told him that he was going to do some manyanga somewhere. And he used to walk with two pistols like this, with bodyguards. But the bodyguards would not be open. They would be disappear in the crowd, okay, around him. But they were there. But they would not show, it wasn't a show. Now, if you dare touch him, they would show up from everywhere, and you would not know what hit you. So, one day he's walking like that on the street, these guys are there like that. Then a man comes and stands in front of him and tells him that, give your life to Jesus, otherwise you're going to die now. Anyway, I'm cutting it off. So the guy So he said that he knew pastors. They are, most of them are fake. So he called some guy and told him, tell me one genuine pastor who can lead me to the Lord. Now. So the guy gave him a name of some pastor in Mombasa. He was in Nairobi. So he called the guy in Mombasa and introduced himself. Then the pastor was hung up. The pastor said, now I'm in serious trouble. What is this guy looking? You know, his name brought fear on everybody because those guys. So he said, so he called again. Now the pastor is shaking. Lead me to the Lord right now. Right. Pastor says, okay, you know, you see, we have to first meet. He said, shut up. I don't want to meet you. Just lead me in a prayer right now. I want to receive the Lord. So the pastor gives him what? Says a prayer. They are very scared. Now the interesting thing is, as soon as the pastor finished leading him to the Lord, he hung up and ran to police and said, Mungiki are looking for me. He didn't believe that what? That it was whatever. But anyway, the man turned out to be. Now he's there and he's trying to teach Barukura about dominion. Because he knows it from the other side. But they don't know it. They don't understand it. And it's so difficult. And now let me tell you, there are two kinds of people. Either a survivor or a dominion person. Now, teaching a survivor dominion is close to impossible. Because their mindset is in a different form. First of all, the biggest trick the devil did to us as a church is to separate our lives between church and secular. And so many of you think like that. You even have a church what? Voice. You have a church demeanor, a church voice, a church, you know? There's a way you talk. Have you ever seen people who, like even the way they preach, totally different from the way they talk normally. You know that. Okay? And something happens to them when they are preaching. Certain thing takes over. Then accents and what and all that. Now, it creates something in them that there is a church personality and then there is a world personality. So now, when that person leaves church and goes into what they call the real world, he has left a church somewhere. And he doesn't see the church as something that is relevant to him in this place where he is. He wants to do it on his own here. And then after doing it on his own here, he comes to church to pray. And reminds me of the other, anyway, it's not to give the guy pastor. But where you see, it's as if church is for some afterlife. But in this life, you have to navigate using the methods which you've learned from the world, worldly methods. Then you go you being born again and having a power of God behind you does not benefit you in the marketplace because you are not using it. You think it's supposed to end here. And when you go to the marketplace, you have other ideas. And you fit in perfectly within the way the world thinks properly. And then, of course, you come here and you're saved, you're going to heaven. But that was the purpose of the power of God. Now that's mostly us. Now you go to the demonic world. In the demonic world, people don't go to a witch doctor for fellowship. They go there saying, I want to become MP. I want power to become MP. They go there with a purpose. You see? They say, I want my business to prosper. What do you want? Go and bring over here. What? Go and bring your father. But there is a specific purpose for which they go. They're not just there for fellowship. Or there to fulfill some, you know? No, there is a purpose. I am here. Have you ever had a fellowship in a sermon? Heard of it? I'm not saying you going there. But some of you are. Anyway, I'm joking. But the point is that there it is strictly business. You go, there is something you want. I want to own this property. I want this and this. There is competition. So you go somewhere and you expect somebody is going to give it to you. Or you want politics. I told you that guy who told me that you're such a good orator. I met him one day. He was telling me, you're standing for MP and Kumatizad people, and they were all like this. All of them were like, yeah. Then when he finished, there was some doctor who was waiting for him somewhere, and he told him, come and talk to me, I will give you those people. And he's talking as if the people are cows. He says, Jango yogire nangi njaba kuwa abantu abo. That is what you mean. The people were there cheering me at what you're saying there. He said, no, you don't have them. Now, that man knows he has those people. Amen? Scripture says when a strong man keeps his house, nobody can break in. But now the purpose of you coming here is that you go as the stronger man. You don't start with the people. You start with that witch doctor and first hammer him, then remove the power. Then now you have the people. Guess what? They cheered him when elections came. They didn't vote for him. Why he was like fifth. But they listened to him. And they were excited. But the point at which the decision is made, like somebody owns that. You know? Somebody owns it. Praise the Lord. And now you see, it is so much in churches. Let me tell you, even in churches here, I had somebody who bought again and what everything. Then that time, the person conceived the idea that they wanted to get married to me. So I was single. I was single and not searching. Now, they will never trust their God for something. She ended up going for some witch. That was something. The witch told her, who? She went and told the witch that, I want to get married to a certain man of God. Then but she said, who is that? Then she mentioned the name, said, Now, but my point is this. Why did she go to God? But you see, even Christians, like, there is something where they don't believe that they are here for needs to be met. You are here for fellowship. Not for needs to be met. But what's the purpose of coming here if you don't think that there are needs which are going to be met? Met. That I come here, there is a power that is going to meet need A, B, C. Okay? And you believe that that's going to be. Now, the power, I'll tell you this. That person who she went to, so many people have gone there and apparently gotten answers. But that woman clearly told her that guy is far above me, talking about me. But for me, you come to me and you think I have no solutions. But I have so many of them. But it's up to how it is all. First of all, do you come to church to get solutions? Do you come or do you come for fellowship? Is there anything specifically that you say, now I've come here, I want this, the power of God is going to bring this to happen? Let's say in business, let's say in a job, competing with, or something else, something similar. Now that's what I want us to get into, because we are deceived that we are just playing church. Then as soon as you step out of here and go out there, like everything about church ends. When you're queer, like simple. But now the people of the world, for them, they bring their thing in right in business. They will go places. There's a lady who came to me one time when I was that place in town. What was it? Renzori Towers. And she had a shop somewhere in some mall there. And all the people were telling her she should open in the morning up to evening, and not a single person branches to even come and ask. Not even buy, just ask. So she came and told me what's wrong. Then she told me that the people all in that place, they say, you come and we go, Ojakufuna Omukisa somewhere, Omukisa. They were inviting her to go to witchcraft. Now she came with another girl who, I think, I don't know what sort of person she thought she was coming to, but this other girl was there gauging me. I think she decided, this one, Tamarako. So she went to get Mukisa. You see, eh? Now, that's how people get entrapped, because they do not come for solutions in the church. But when people come with that attitude, now I know another lady, she had an issue. Her husband, for some reason, I just was totally infatuated with some girl at work. And it was something clearly spiritual, because the girl did not even look good at all, and the wife looked very good. So there was something not right. And then she was cleaning the man out properly. Then this woman did not know what to do. She wondered what has happened to my man. How can you? Okay, there is one thing going, but somebody cleans you out, you just take all your salary there. Something was wrong. Then she went to a certain man of God and told him that this is this and this is it. Now, this one is somebody who actually had power. So the guy said that, just said, I free your husband from that woman's grip. Then he said, is that it? He said, that's it. You go. The guy came home and he was a totally different man. He even almost fired that girl from work because he was the boss. Like he completely cut off everything, you know, changed. And then one day, she had a friend of hers. Now this is the opposite. A friend of hers had that kagal saying, over that man, we really messed the guy up. You call him and say, I want $1 million, he delivers it. I want two, he delivers it. Something happened, man. Now the guy these days is what? He's out of our hands. And now, like, let me tell you, if the church actually had solutions for such simple problems, okay, not simple, that's hard. When a woman who has two children with a man and the man just runs mad like that, that's a big problem for her. But if they find somebody who does not, who is not offering solution, you come, you know, I have this and this and this. No, come for fellowship. Let us worship. Okay, we are going to worship, but my husband is being taken. Where is the power to receive? The power is here. The power, we have it. Number one, it's either that it is not being exercised by the people who have it, or the people who want it don't believe we have it, that they will go to fake people to get the solutions. But the solutions are all here. For all those problems, by the way, they really are here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, somebody told me that when we were at Rugogo, that when I came like and entered like this, going to preach, he just sensed a very strong financial anointing on me. So he said he knew if he doesn't connect there, and then it's going to vanish. What? Okay, not that it vanished, but you know sometimes windows come and open for you to do something. So the guy, now here is where I need to commend some people for being serious. So he go and start a business. Then he came and told me about his business. He said, where I am, where so many people doing the same thing, selling the same thing. And I'm not so sure how this is going to work. I said, that's good. Then because I trust him, and because I wanted to help him, and because I knew he wasn't going to take my things in a weird way, I told him, go and get a seed. So he went and brought a seed. Not too big. The kind of seed you'd expect from somebody whose business is not making profits. So he brought a seed. And I just laid hands on it. And so now he came and told me, now he had moved from losses to breaking even to making profits. Now he's making profits. Now, here is the problem. So many people stop there because they have survival mentality. But now, if you are among people who hate you and you've moved from losses to profits, it means you've subdued them. Because all those people go to those witch doctors. So the fact that you're even making profit means you've subdued them. Now, press ahead and get dominion. But if you don't have the mindset, you'll just be comfortable with making a profit and making some money. But if you have the dominion mindset, you say, now these guys, I have them like this. Now I am going to squeeze them properly until they are all answering to me. And now you will do that. You will get it. Properly, and you, all of them, you will either chase them away from that place or something like that. By the way, that Kenyan pastor, he said one day, when they were doing their thing, they went to a Masonic temple, Freemasonry temple, this temple of Freemason, that to steal. Now also them, you know, they were doing some level of witchcraft and spirituality. So they went to a Freemasonic temple to steal. So they enter inside. They don't fear police. Police fears them. So they just go and enter inside. So they found all the utensils. They use the bowls, what, for all those things. All of them are gold. So they carry them and, you know, put them outside of the of, of, the temple. And then they say, but what's inside there? There was a room inside there, like a holy of holies. So they say, what's inside there? Let's go and see. If there is God here, we don't know what is inside there. So they go there and now try to break in. The guy said, he saw a skeleton came out walking, just marching like this. Complete skeleton. They took off, but even the one they had kept outside, they left it and ran away. And it did not do anything. It just kept walking. Their direction, they all split. Now, but what the guy was telling the pastors, but how come for you man, you're broke. The people who are serving the devil have the utensils of gold. You're saying that, is your God broke? Or, I'll tell you this. Those people, the principles that we're talking about here, which they actually pick from the Bible, they use them so much. I was even telling you a bit about those, that Freemason things and so on. How they have a way they greet. They have a symbol they do. Everything is. So even when you appear before a judge and he's a Freemason, there's a symbol you do and show him that you're also a Freemason. And then the guy will make sure that either he dismisses the case or something. He will do everything in his power to make sure. There is a way they do their hands. I'm sure you've seen it. Eh? Yeah. I don't want to do it here, but I'm sure you've seen it. And even world leaders do it and what. And even the Pope, the previous Pope, the one who passed on, all of them do it. And it looks like an innocent thing, but it's not. But what worried me so much is that I saw, it kind of worried me. I saw J.D. Vance, the vice president of the U.S. doing it. I said, this guy. So anyway, I said, okay, cut it. But I saw him doing it and I'm saying, this guy is you. We think we are, you know, somebody can come and they talk, and you think you have, and they know how to infiltrate you and put for you somebody who is part of them. Phew. Then you think he's with you and he will play the game properly as if he's with you, but he's not. But I'm not saying he's, but I don't know if it was a mistake, but I saw him doing it. Anyway, praise the Lord. Now, so the guy was saying, why is your God broke? Asking pastors, why is your God broke? But is our God broke? We just haven't learned that you can come here and get something out of, not just fellowship, to get something specific, that I want this is what I want. Amen? By the way, did you testify about your father? Eh? You first stand up. This man came here and gave us a picture of his father. The father had cancer. The father had prostate cancer. We prayed communally. The father went for a second test and there was no cancer. But the doctor was telling him, even if there is none, but we have to remove your prostate. I said, now, doctor's man, you're not the one who has turned the thing negative. Why are you trying to? Because they don't want to accept. Okay, it's not their training. But anyway, the good news is he went for a second test and there was no cancer. Praise the Lord. True? Okay. So we do not know how, like, really coming for solutions. I have a solution. There's something I want. I want to go and get this position. I want to go and do this. I want to do this, get this thing in business and so on. Let me tell you, I told you a story. Now, this also opened my own eyes because I need to know. For me, when I started following certain principles of prosperity and living by them and walking by them and so on. Then, until that time when I went to, when I got that office at Rezori Towers. Then, one day I'm seated in the office. Then two Kenyan ladies come and the people who were running the facility come and enter my office and sit down and ask me that, what does the watchman do? Because people would say, where I do this IT, they were mostly lawyers and so on, legal firms. So what does watchman do? I said, why are you asking? They sat and they were asking in a very, as if they are concerned about something. I said, no, we don't do anything illegal. Then they said, no, we didn't think we're doing it in Idiko. There were two Kenyan ladies. None of them is born again. Actually, one of them was really addicted to alcohol. Not just drinks, but really addicted. You could see she would even come when, like, as if she fell. She drank and fell. It was bad. But anyway, she was a good person. And so she came. So I told them, why are you asking? Then they told me that their building, they were struggling to get tenants. They even advertised, they told people, if you bring a tenant, we are going to give you a tablet, what? Then the two ladies, not born again, told me, but from the minute you stepped here, we have now all the offices are occupied. And they said, it has to have something to do with you. I was in shock. They said, because we had been here trying to, you know, get tenants, nobody. The minute you came and they said, the minute you signed the contract, people started coming. And now the place is full. So I joked and told them, so that means you're not going to increase my... But she didn't for 1 year. And later it was supposed to be increased after 6 months. But she could not chase the blessing away. Praise the Lord. But she actually didn't. But now, the point is this. If people even who don't know, somehow know that. What? And they told me, those two Kenyan women, that it has to have something to do with you. Because the minute... So now, my point is this. We have solutions. We are not going to play church. Praise the Lord. We are not going to play what? Church has to be together with our life. We have to implement all these things and go into the workplace and say we are here to get dominion because we have a power of God that is on us. But do you know so many people keep that power dormant? And it's on you. It's on them, but they keep it dormant. They don't ever exercise it in their workplaces, in their marketplace. So you are competing with people and you don't know that you can push them aside. Praise the Lord. You don't know that you can what? Yeah. You want an increment, some person is standing in the way of it. Maybe ego, maybe I don't know what. You can push him aside. Or, by the way, you can even subdue his spirit. By the way, even if he's born again, you can subdue his spirit. And I'll tell you what, some of those things are even so easy. I learned how to... Okay, let me give you the easiest way. Without ever... If it doesn't work, go aspire for something higher. But I'm giving you the ntandikwa. Speak to that person's spirit. Especially do that at night. Because I've done that before. I wake up at 3 when you're sure that person is sleeping. And then I say, Robert, I want you to do this. Your spirit is hearing it. The spirit is not sleeping. And if the person is not born again, they will listen to you because your spirit is higher than. You see, they might be your boss here. So you say, you guy, I want an increment. 30% this week without fail. Have you tried? You know, you haven't. But now for you, you just want to hear about what? Mungiki and what? But... But you know, there is a lot of things you can do to make sure that you don't just fellowship. But fellowship goes with you everywhere. You stop this, you do this, you mess this up. And there was a time when I was doing it so much. Every time, it was just practice, really. I was practicing it all the time. There was a time, now this one was really tight, because cars... There was a traffic guy who had stopped our cars in the direction I was coming. And I was about to arrive, the guy stops. I wanted to disobey, but I said no. So then he started letting the other guys pass. But yeah, we had been going for a while, so I knew he was going to let the other guys go for what? For a long time. So I just looked at him like this and connected with him. And I put this other hand down. And I made him open us up, like that. And he did it. He did it. And the other cars went like just 3, then he stopped them, then I passed. The reason I did that is I was in a hurry. I needed to go and use the toilet. Praise the Lord. I didn't do it for a very powerful reason. But the truth is, I could have embarrassed myself if I hadn't done that. Because I was hard pressed. Praise the Lord. Then another time, I think after another time, I arrived, somebody told me to. I was chasing something, then they told me, go and pay in the bank. And then come back and pass. Then I knew, by the time I come back from the bank, it will be lunchtime. And these civil servants, they go for lunch and come back at 4 p.m. And I didn't have all that time to waste. So, as soon as I stepped out of that office, I said that I look that it was a court clerk. I said, I look her there in her office. She's not going anywhere until I come back. So I jumped out and I ran, went to the bank, Diamond Trust Bank, paid what, took. Then I came, then she came and said, hey, you finished paying, where is the receipt? Then she signed. As soon as she signed, she said, hey, banang, you know, genda ku lunch. I knew I'd messed her up, man. Because if she had gone before I came, I would have to come and sit and wait. Because those people. So I locked her there and said, you're going nowhere. Amen? Now also in another time, now what I'm telling you is that marketplace Christianity. Praise the Lord. Another time, some guy calls me, a friend of mine, and said he has a meeting with his executive director and he's running very late. So let me not say that one. Another time, they called me on a TV station and I arrived there. I thought I was alone. Then they told me they had called some clown and we were going to be unequally yoked together. So I decided, no, I don't want to be unequally yoked. Praise the Lord. So I sat there and I did something. This was, I won't say it's the TV, but I sat there and did something. Then they put the chair for the person. We're expecting somebody else. We did the show from start to finish. The guy didn't come. He came when the show had ended. And I got what I wanted, to be alone. Praise the Lord. Anyway, my point is, there are so many people among us who do not believe that we can actually do so many powerful things by just exercising the power that is in us. Amen? Just exercising power that is in us, in business, in everything. Just say, who am I competing with? That person. Okay. Now I'm targeting them. They are coming down for my sake. Now, if they are not born again, really, they are there for the taking. And you focus on it until you see that the person, you've changed the position, the person has gone behind you. Now, that's what's called dominion. You either have the mindset or you have the survival mindset. Or you say, Munang, even this job was a miracle. Let me be what? Let me just be content with it. But the truth is, if you don't, those people will come for you. Like they did for Daniel. He's the one even who saved them from being killed. Because when Nebuchadnezzar told that if you can't tell me the dream, you're going to die. Guess what Daniel did? He went and told them, don't kill them. He went before the king and said, first way to kill anybody. I'm going to get this. So he saved their lives. But a few chapters later, they're the ones who are reporting him. Because they always come after you. But you always have to keep a step ahead of them. Praise the Lord. And now don't fool yourself that at any one stage, we are here in conquest. You see what you read in the Old Testament of people conquering. Then David attacked the Philistines and subdued them and they were paying tribute. Then he went to the kingdom of Moab and subdued them. Then he went to that's what we are supposed to be doing today. It's just not like that. Okay? But you go around your neighbor, subdue them, bring them here. Like what you read in the Old Testament, that was real battle. Here is spiritual battle. And it's the same conquest, because in the end time, there will be the other side and there will be this side. And then it says, Daniel 11:32, talking about the Antichrist, it says that he will corrupt some with flattery. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now, as we come to the close of this age, you have to know that when you achieve dominion, that's how God achieves dominion. He achieves dominion through you. In the Old Testament, God achieved dominion through first Abraham, then eventually through the descendants of Abraham, the natural descendants, who are Israel. Okay? The natural descendants through the line of Isaac and Jacob. That's how he got dominion. So as long as Israel had dominion, God had dominion because he was the God of Israel. Now, he's the God of you. As long as you have dominion, he has dominion. Okay? And you have to extend, you know? That's why it says that occupy until I come. You see, it says occupy until I come. So you have to be expanding and occupying and taking dominion, using the power that you already have. You don't even have to come to anybody. You don't have to go to any man of God. You just have to exercise the power that is already in you. It is there. You can, you know, you sit for an interview, finish second. Somebody told me, the person, he had believed and sold for the job. He finished second. The person who finished first, when they were going to call him, they stole his phone. So they called and the phone was off. Then they called the second person. Then when the first person came, finally got a phone, you know, when you're jobless, that's not as straightforward as. When the first person finally got the phone, he came and said, "You, what happened?" They said, "We called you. Somebody started working yesterday." That's what they call favor. All these things, by the way, let me tell you, favor, dominion, all these things, they are cultivated, and you can actually cultivate them. When I learned that you can cultivate favor, and you can dispense favor, and people start looking at you in a certain way, it's all about the reception. So when you hear somebody has favor, it's because there's something they do to win it back. Sow and reap. There's something they do that makes people favor them. And for some reason, everybody seems to want, you know, to help them. Because there's something they do. Amen? Yeah. So I started also cultivating favor by being grateful for every small thing. Every small thing, I'm grateful. Now you may think that's not a big thing, but if you knew me, you'd know that you could, and before, this is long ago, so please forgive me, but you could come and buy for me coffee, and I tell you, who told you I didn't have money for it? And then you look at somebody looking at you, and you're like, you're a fool. And you are. Amen? Because now, after that, nobody will buy for you anything. But until I learned that I'm chasing away my favor. So when somebody gives me something small, very small, I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart with a lot of, as if I didn't have it, as if there is no way I could have gotten it without them. Then the things start becoming bigger and bigger. Now I'm cultivating favor. And you can cultivate favor at workplaces properly. Somebody doesn't like you, you can make them like you. The scripture says when a man pleases God, even his enemies are what? At peace with him. So you look at somebody and realize this guy doesn't like me. Reminds me of a story that somebody said that. they go and they are meeting some bazungu. He's the only black among them, and they are a number of bazungu. So I think one of the muzungu was a real racist. So he's looking at the guy like this. All of them are bazungu. He's the only black person. So he says, he's looking at the guy like this. Then he says that, "I don't like the way this guy looks." Like for no reason. Then they ask him, "What has the guy done?" And says, then he talks to one and says, "This guy here, don't you see that? I don't like the way he looks." So the guy escalated the thing. "I don't like the way this guy." So eventually Muzungu stood up and wanted to punch the guy that he doesn't like the way he looks. That's when the guy showed him the power of the black race. He punched the Muzungu. But the man had, like, you know, when you're there seated talking, the guy, I don't like the way you look. But anyway, how did I get there? So, if somebody does not like you, you can actually make them like you. Or you can decide not to care if you decide, if you take that direction. Sometimes, but sometimes you can make them like you. And there's something you can pull to make. And the truth is that until you understand that when you live here, there is a hand of God on you like this. And it is pushing you to go and have dominion in a place. You don't approach a place like an ordinary person. Don't. Always have that consciousness of you that you, I'm here, I'm conscious of something. Okay? Now, when David comes and meets Israel, when they are fighting against, running away from Goliath, Israel knew that they had a God. They knew there was a God of Israel. Saul knew it, all his soldiers knew it. The difference is for them, they had a God of the temple, whom they were going to go and give sacrifices to. David had a God who is practical. My God is going to help me hit this man. Like, that's the difference, because it's not temple, because the man comes and makes you run, then David said, who is this guy who is defying the armies of the living God? Okay? Now, for him, his God is a God of solutions. How can I sit for an interview and I don't get the job? Let me see. Are you born again? No. Are you born again? Are you born again? No. I'm getting this job. All you guys, either they will steal your phones, I don't know, but somehow I'll get the job. Now, if you have that attitude, because you see, you're representing a kingdom. Amen? So those people come representing a kingdom. And you are representing a kingdom that is superior. So you have to come with the attitude of superiority. It has to be. Now, it is not easy, because sometimes life has hammered you here, left, right, center, you're all over the place. But now you have to completely have that in your mind, that greater is he that is what? That is in you, that he that is in the world. And then you go, and then you will see people. Now, when you see people, somebody told me that they put a camera outside their business, and then they would see a man who would come and collect, right in front of the camera, collect, these are children of God, collect soil, then do what? When they would look at the camera footage the following morning. And then I told him, he's just trying to get your attention, because he wants you to fear. Now, if you go without any fear, fear is the currency of the demonic world. Just like faith is the currency of our world. Now, if you don't have faith, you've demobilized God's divine power. There is nothing he can do without faith. That's how it is said. He doesn't do things to somebody who says, there has to be a measure of some faith somewhere. Otherwise, his power is neutralized. Now, in the same way, without fear, the power of the enemy is neutralized. Now, when people do it and the man knows there is a camera there, it wasn't a small camera, he didn't know, it was a big camera. And he's doing that, he's trying to send a message to you. So now, what you do is, you don't what? You don't express any fear whatsoever. Now, and I'm telling you, like, those people, because people come and say, there's a lot of witchcraft. It cannot do anything unless it messes up with your mind. That's where it messes you up. I remember which man of God is that who said that he woke up in the morning, he was hearing noises in his house at night. Then he comes down and then he finds the devil. Had disorganized the whole place. They said, it's just you. I even thought it was somebody serious. He says, before you go, make sure you put all these things back the way you found them. Then he went back to sleep. Then in the morning, the place was organized. Yes. Now, you see how, there is not once you don't fear, because even all those things of coming, whoosh. By the way, let me tell you, even if you are going seeking for him, you cannot go, nobody can go to a witch doctor, and you are in the light like this, and anything happens. They will create an atmosphere of what? Fear, where there is darkness, what? Then there are voices, then what? Then so because that's faith in that world, you see. So you have to fear for you to receive. Without fear, there is no reception. Sometimes they tell them that what? I remember there was a man in Bukedde whom they showed. He was a permanent secretary. He was going to a shrine naked, totally naked, Thankfully, they showed the backside. But he was completely naked. That witch doctor was somewhere there in Mavida. You undress from those ends. Leave your clothes those ends. Now those people, when they find you worshipping your God, they think that. But, man. Like, very stupid people. Praise the Lord. But, until you show them results, they will continue thinking you are the one who is stupid. The results come by you competing with them and subduing them. Beating them at business. Doing this. That's when they will start believing in your God. Somebody who has tested spirituality is not going to listen to the gospel. Hey, you know, Jesus died. No, that's not how they... People who have tested spirituality, the only answer they know is, what did you go there to get? Okay, I'm coming and getting it from you. So you went there because you wanted to become a member of parliament. Good. Me, I went to church. Who is the MP? The church person. The next time, the guy will come to church. That's it. Because for them, they are looking. They have learned that it is all about, spirituality is all about solutions. It's not about fellowship. Although we fellowship. It's all about solutions. Creating dominion for your kingdom. So now I'm going to God. I have a dominion I have to bring into our kingdom. Now there is this power that is going to help me. Now I'm going to step out there. And I know that there is a hand of God that is on me. Whether I feel it or not, like feeling doesn't matter whatsoever. You know your heart is with God and you know God knows he's counting on you to get to that place. Because we're expanding our company. So you step there, wherever it is, and say, now, we are all chikubo. We are all selling sugar. I'm going to pitch my tent here. After some time, all these people will be buying sugar from me. They will do witchcraft. They will do all sorts of things. Then eventually they will start using natural means. They might try to steal your things. When you see them using natural means, you know they have been defeated in the spirit. Well, that's the time for you to celebrate. They'll start trying to either, you know, do all sorts of things and so on. And and then eventually they will submit. I remember some guy who tried to kill me, like I don't know how many times. There's a time he even called a friend of mine, and I used to stay here in Zambia. Now he called a friend of mine who was his nephew and told him, I'm told Kabilita Asula in Zambia, I've sent men there to go and what. Mburia wa Asula. The guy confused him. He knew where he stayed, but he confused him and told him that. Then he was frustrated with him the next day and said, "Go, you lied to me." The next day, the guy called me very early in the morning as soon as I switched on my phone. The guy called me and said, "But why don't you leave that guy alone? Leave that guy alone." I said, "Why?" He said, "Ah, I won't tell you, but leave that guy alone." Man, the guy tried. But now I knew the guy had tried in the spirit. Now when he started, the next time, some friend of mine was in Kenya preaching. Then he calls me in the morning, very concerned, and tells me, I ask him, "Where are you?" He says, "I'm in Kenya." I say, "What? When are you coming back?" He says, "I'm coming back tomorrow." So I tell him that, "Do you want me to pick you up?" He says, you may pick me up if you want, but I called you to tell you, I just woke up from a dream. Two big guys, Bikanyamas, entered into your bedroom and were strangling you. And I knew where it was coming from. Now, we went through all of that. The other day I met the guy in Hoima. And we even hugged. "Hey, man, what? You're lost, what?" I said, "Man, what life is." Like, but the guy really, really tried me, man. In every way possible. But my point is that, of course, not that I knew so much, but sometimes the Lord was just saving me. Because my house was some house where anybody could enter. I could not afford a more secure place. Then, man, so many things happened. That guy, man, he made it his life's mission to crush me. But here I am. But you know, the thing is this. He could have, but God had an investment in me. Amen? And God has an investment in you. Like, when you go, you just know that you're not alone. You like, that attitude of David, that who are you to defy the armies of the living God? In other words, I'm here representing my God. And greater is he that is in me than what? Than the devil that is in the world. Praise the Lord. That's the attitude. And that's what you have to get. And now I'm telling you that if you really, really, first you come from making losses to breaking even to making profits, then to dominion. Praise the Lord. The only reason you're making losses is because you've not applied the principles. It's the only reason, only reason, only reason. Because the scripture says, Isaiah 48 verse 17, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to what? Profit. They are principles, very basic ones, not very powerful ones, very basic ones. That says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. Okay? So he does not teach you to lose. There are no losses. So now, profit can mean anything. It doesn't have to mean when you're doing business. Praise the Lord. So now we are going to, this is going to be our new challenge. Okay? Even as we fraternize today, our new challenge is we are moving from losses to breaking even to profits, from profits to dominion. We are not sticking at survival. Survivors, people want survival when they make profits. They are comfortable. But those who want dominion say, no, we are going all the way. We have to have our what? Our hands around the necks of our enemies. Because if they had the chance, they would do the same to you. The only reason you're making profit is because you've subdued them already. Praise the Lord. For them, they don't have any mercy. They don't have any mercy. If they can strangle you, they will do it without even a thought. So also you don't have mercy. But I'm not saying about strangling, with actual strangling. Like those guys wanted to what? To strangle me. I knew that guy had seen something. Eh? So he told me he prayed for me and so on. But anyway, now the guy, we are friends. Okay, maybe I wouldn't eat food which he has served, but but we are friends. Praise the Lord. He lost out very badly, by the way, in that thing. Anyway, we are here. There's a time we reached where he couldn't even come close to me. I remember he found me somewhere. I was in Serena eating. Then he came walking, and the path where he was passing was here. And I was seated, my table was here. Then the guy came, and then I was seated with somebody who knew our battles. Then the person said, "Ha, Kableta is here, your friend." Then the guy looked at me like this. Then said, "Ha, Kableta." Then he walked his hands like this, like real scared of me. Like I'm saying, I'm talking about a very rich man. Like instead of passing here, he passed like those hands looking at me like this, as if I'm about to pounce on him. Anyway, praise the Lord. We dispel that Christianity, which is church Christianity and not marketplace. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. Because we don't go for, it's underselling the gospel. And there is not a single person here who does not have the ability, just with the consciousness. All you need is the consciousness of knowing I am coming for you. I am coming for you. I've told that to somebody who is in very, very high places. I told him, I'm coming for you. And you know, when people think they have a power, and then the higher power speaks, they get scared. Don't think Goliath wasn't scared. You imagine a young boy like this, you're 17, coming for you and he's not scared. His lack of fear makes you fear. Like you say, what does this guy have? Yes, he got you, you know, that sort of thing. So now you come and say, I am going for this thing. Nobody is going to stand in my way. And you just
feel the hand of God on you. You just know it. You don't have to feel it. It is there. Just know it is there. You're not going alone. Somebody represents you. Like you are representing a kingdom of God which is superior to any other kingdom. The only reason the kingdom of God has not imposed itself on the world is because the people who carry the anointing, the Spirit of God, are timid. And they don't have that consciousness of who they actually are, what they represent, the way David did. Now, that's why that story, which like over generations, is like, because David went knowing who he represents. I come here in the name of the God of Israel, whose armies you've defied. And this day, I am going to cut off your head. Now imagine what that guy is thinking. You say, this day I'm going to cut off your head and feed your body too. And so that all world might know that there is a God in Israel. Now, man, that sort of language, there is no way you can fail if you fight. So you enter into a business arena, into a mall, and say, I'm pitching my restaurant here. I am here representing the kingdom of God. So everybody is going to come here. And you wake up in the morning and confess it and believe it. Amen? There's something strange, really strange, which happened to me one day. Like, it was so strange at that time. It was early 90s. I'd just gotten born again. And I didn't know the power of words, like, really. So one day I was some place in Kamocha, in the slums there, where I would say, you know those shops where they buy a bag of flour and then they open it like this and they start preparing for people in kilos. So there's this lady, she had beans, what, flour, all those things, kashira, and all that in front of her shop. So I come there and I'm just talking to her. And I start holding her beans like this. Just holding the beans like this. Then said, she knew me personally. And she said, then I just said, Biono gena bitundale ro, biona bigweo. Said, ha, techi soboka. Evijanjaru bituara mwezi mulamba. I said, dero gena. I didn't repeat it. I just said that and walked out. In the evening I came, the bag was totally empty. Completely empty. She said, Nabi Tunzi. Even I was shocked. I was totally shocked. I shocked myself out of my wits. I said, like, and I knew even when I said it, I didn't think that doesn't, but I just said it. And she said, you had just spoken here, you went. Somebody came, Mpayo kilo ebijanja, Mpayo kilo bidi, Mpayo kilo, Mpayo half. They even used to do quarter. I don't know if quote of Bijanjaro. I think Bijanjaro stopped at half. But you know that I'm just trying to show you the time period where we've come from, praise the Lord. Like there's a time where I would go and buy half year quarter. No, of sugar. I'm telling you, of sugar to take tea. Basically, you needed 2 spoons in your cup of coffee. So you'd go and say, then. So they would put the smallest what? Stone. Then they get then they divide even the smallest one, half year quarter. Then you just get enough for 1 cup of tea. Because that's the money you had. Praise the Lord. But life was good. But now the point is, you know, I shocked myself when the woman told me immediately left until the bijanjaro got finished. That thing stayed with me. I said, what happened? What just happened? Praise the Lord. Now, you walk in a place and say, all the customers here are coming here to me. If I have enough and my stock is running out, I might distribute to other people. But I have first right of refusal. First right of refusal. The way those Frenchmen do, those West Africans. Where, like, if they have anything, they have to first ask France, do you want it? If France doesn't want it, that's why they can sell to somebody else. Like, but even joke. But by the Africa is waking up. Do you notice? The time for leaders like this one of ours here, is going very, very fast. But he's even going faster. But Africa is changing. It really is changing. Because there's another one who is like him in Nigeria. Some old clown called Tinubu or something. Yeah. Total clown, by the way. But also him, they are the same group of leaders like that. They have no regard whatsoever for their nations. It's all about themselves, very selfish people. The only thing which bothers me about that guy who is leading the revolution is he's a Muslim. I wish he was a Moroccan. I wish he was a what? Born again. But aren't you people don't understand dominion? This is what I'm telling you about. You don't understand dominion. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, because now we are finished. Now, I am going to pray for you like a real dominion prayer so that you go. Now, you gentlemen, are you still in the real estate business? That's where you need dominion. Like you really need dominion in that estate. Like don't go by general knowledge. You can connect clients. You know what I'm saying. You can handle it purely spiritually. And you'll be selling, and other people are not. Do you know your colleagues go to witchcraft? No, it's okay, I'm just telling you. Do you know your colleagues go to witchcraft to sell houses? Yes. Now it's time for you to squeeze them by the what? By those things I won't say. Really, I'm serious. Because otherwise you are the same. You come here, you sit down. You come here, fellowship, then you listen to the word of God. Then when you go, you're also using the same methods to get buyers. You can get them in the spirit. Summon them, like, how difficult is it? Just summon them in the spirit. Come to me. All buyers. If you come and you want to buy and there is no property I have, then I can send you to some clowns who don't have the Lord. But otherwise, I have first, like France, I have first right of what? Of refusal. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You stand up, let me say this prayer, and we go to fellowship, whatever. Father, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, I thank you because you clothe us with consciousness of who we are and what our areas of dominion are. Now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because this consciousness walks with us, is always with us, and it does not depart from us. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that in every area, in Jesus' name. Arthur, did your guy come, the guy who was sick? You have his picture. I want us to pray for him. This guy who got an injury, which is, he was a top footballer, then he got injured. Now I want us to, I want us to pray for him, and got a terrible knee injury. Okay. Thank you, Father, because the consciousness is with us. And we shall go out there, we shall step out knowing who we are in the name of Jesus. And we shall not let go of what we believe about ourselves, that greater is he that is in us than the devil that is in the world. And we shall expand this kingdom in the name of Jesus. We shall expand this kingdom. We shall occupy. We shall expand. We shall occupy. And take dominion. And we shall keep the dominion mindset strong in us. Now I release that mindset upon each and every person here in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Washburn Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.